In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yesterday it was my privilege to visit Inez Baird. You know Inez, she turned 100. Let's see, was that in June? Marie? Inez's 100th birthday, was that in June? July the 4th. Okay. At any rate, she's 100 years old now. A little bit older than me. Anyway, Inez, you know, she has the infirmities that go with being a century old. Maybe some that, well, are beyond what some of our centenarians experience. But Marie and I, you know, rejoiced in something yesterday during this service of Holy Communion that took place there at the nursing home that Inez is living in. Inez seemed a little confused, but when we got to the communion liturgy, she was right on target. She was with us. She confessed the creed. She prayed the Lord's Prayer with us. She sang the Agnus Dei with us. She knew what it was all about, receiving communion. She sang Psalm 100, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," the doxology. These things were a part of her. She had absorbed them her whole life long. And what really gladdened my heart, aside from the reception of her Lord's true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, was to hear her say the creed with confidence. Now, from memory, because again, this creed was a part of her. What she was doing was confessing her faith in Jesus Christ when she said this creed. It's the same thing you do when we will say the Nicene Creed after the sermon today. You are confessing your faith in Christ. You are confessing your faith in the only true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is not your doing. It's not at all. It is the work of God within you. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the faith that confesses is not your work. You cannot by your own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has enlightened you. He has opened your eyes. He has opened your ears. He has gathered you into his holy Christian church. He has sanctified you as a child of God, and he will accomplish his purposes for you. And what does this have to do with the man who was deaf and had a speech impediment in today's gospel reading? Jesus was in Gentile territory. Earlier, he had cast out the demon of a Syrophoenician woman with the power of his word, even though she was a long distance away from him. Again, that took place in Gentile territory. Now, the fact that Jesus does these healings, does these works of power in Gentile territory, shows us that the gospel is not just for the Jewish people. The gospel is for all mankind. The gospel is for all creation, we learn at the end of St. Mark's gospel. The gospel ushers in the new creation that will be finally realized when Christ returns in glory. The new heavens and the new earth of which you, by God's grace, are already now a citizen. A citizen, a citizenship that far outranks your citizenship in North Carolina or the United States. For your citizenship in the kingdom of God is eternal. Just as Christ's word will never pass away, so it is with those who, by faith, cling to that word, trust in that word. The word of the Lord endures forever, and so are those who have been made a new creation by that word. Anyway, Jesus is in Gentile territory, and they, fellow Gentiles, bring to Jesus a man, a Gentile, who was deaf and had a speech impediment. He had apparently been deaf from birth, and he could not speak clearly because he could not hear the sound of his own voice. He could not hear how other people spoke the language. What Jesus did was take this man aside from the crowd privately. Why did Jesus do this? Well, some commentators say that Jesus did not want to embarrass the man because, after all, he suffered from handicaps. I do not think that is the case. Others say that it was because Jesus wanted to work with this man one-on-one. I don't think that's the case either. In the Gospel of Mark, we have what is known as a messianic secret that is emphasized. Jesus knows what it means to be the Messiah. He knows that as the Messiah, as the Christ, he has come into the world to suffer horribly, to be betrayed, to be crucified, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. And other people's notions of the Messiah, other people's conception, was not in accord with what God wanted and had appointed the Messiah to be. They were looking for a conquering hero of some sort. And Jesus would conquer by his cross. Jesus would conquer by his humiliation, by his sufferings and his death and his resurrection. But not in the way that people of the time believed. So when Jesus took the man apart from the crowd, and when he later told the people not to tell anyone about what had happened, he didn't want to be known as just a healer. He wanted to be known, ultimately, as a redeemer. The one who through his humiliation would lift us up from the humiliation of sin and death and bondage to the devil to the glorious status of the children of God by God's grace. That's what counted. That's what Jesus came to do by his holy life and suffering and death and by his resurrection and ascension. Not be a military conqueror, but the Savior of the world. Now, Jesus is bodily involved in this man's healing and restoration. He takes him aside from the crowd privately. One can assume that Jesus directed the man with his hands, maybe took him in the direction to the place where Jesus wanted him to be. You could say that the Holy Spirit does the same thing for each one of us. For the Holy Spirit has gathered us here this morning in the place where he wants us to be, in the place where we do hear the gospel of forgiveness, where we do have our faith strengthened by the proclamation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, where we are strengthened in our faith and granted renewed forgiveness of our sins through the sacrament of the altar. The Holy Spirit gathers us. He gathers us into the Holy Christian Church. He has gathered us as members of this congregation. Jesus puts his fingers, the fingers of the Word made flesh, into this man's ears. And then he spits, presumably, into his hand and touches the man's tongue. Now, maybe he didn't spit into the man. He didn't touch a man's tongue with his spit, with his saliva. But if he did, that was the spit of the Word made flesh. And since this is holy spit, holy water, you could say, there could be a reminder of our baptism here. Diana likes that. Look at the scriptures. See all the overtones of word and sacrament. See the connections and the interlinking between scripture and scripture. And it's all designed, it's all put there to point you to Jesus, God incarnate, to save you. Jesus looks up to heaven, the common attitude of prayer of that day. He sighs and he says to the man, "Ephphatha, be opened." Why does Jesus sigh? Well, again, there are various explanations or hypotheses as to why he sighs. But it could be at that moment he feels the burden of a sinful, fallen world upon himself. The burden of a world that is broken by sin, a world that has fallen short of the glory of God, a world that has been wrecked from God's original purposes in creation, a world that shall only be restored at great cost to the Son of God, again by his suffering and death, by his experience of the wrath of God poured out on him for the sin of all the world. It cost Jesus something to save you. You have been redeemed by the price of the spotless, holy flesh and blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed at a cost. Rejoice in what your Savior did for you. Rejoice how he willingly sacrificed himself for you to rescue you from the most dire circumstances you could ever imagine, and actually are more dire than you could begin to imagine. They are beyond imagination. But Christ willingly endured all these things for you, for your forgiveness and your salvation. And he gave up his life. He gave up his life for you. And when he breathed his last, he said, "It is finished. It is completed." "Be opened," Jesus says. This "be opened" has been a part of the ancient liturgy of the church. It was said to one who was being baptized. It was said to catechumens as they began moving toward their baptism on the Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil. "Be opened. Let your ears be opened so you can hear the word of God." The Holy Spirit is the one who opens your word, your ears. "Let your mouth be opened so you can proclaim the word of God, so you can confess the triune God who has saved you." And this man, whose ears were open and whose tongue was loosed, was released, spoke plainly. The word "plainly" there is the word "orthos." You know what an orthodontist is? It's someone who straightens your crooked teeth or performs orthodontical surgery. But this man was able to proclaim the word, to speak the word, to declare what Jesus had done for him without muddiness, without confusion, without getting it wrong, because Jesus himself had come to him. Jesus himself had not merely opened his ears and released his tongue, he had also opened his heart that he might believe. Again, so it is with you. You, as you confess the creed, you, as you have learned to know the doctrine of the church, you, as you hear the gospel, you, as you have been instructed in the small catechism, speak orthosly, orthodoxly, straightly, not muddying the word of God, not compromising the word of God, but being true to that word. For it is by that word that you are saved. It is by the word made flesh that you have been adopted and received into God's family. Sinner, though you were, are, sinner though I was, and I am. Again, sinner is not the final status. God's word has the final status, and he has declared you to be a saint for Jesus' sake, only for Jesus' sake, not because of anything you do, but entirely because of what Jesus has done. So hearing Christ's word, you speak the word. Hearing the and learning the doctrines of the church, you recognize false doctrine. Hearing, you proclaim Christ, which is what we do in this divine service. Every time we gather together, every time you have the opportunity to speak of Christ to another, and you do so plainly, because your ears have been opened and your tongue has been loosened by Christ, your Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.